another threesome podcast with Lex and Stacy. Is that better?
Hi. That's better.
Yeah, we just started this a moment or so ago, and I said Lex and Terry, of course. And yes. Stacy had choice words for me. Not what you might think, either. And I think even Terry would agree your penis is bigger, Stacy. So, the start of another threesome podcast. Are we at 30 or 29?
This is number 30.
Woo!
29 would be the now infamous Sex and Zombies episode.
Yes. One of our favorites.
Yes.
That was a damn good episode, I gotta say. But I have high hopes for this one based on what you told me before it started, that you went and saw 50 Shades of Grey last night.
I did, finally.
Was it showing at the Michigan Bijou?
It was in my little hometown.
Yeah.
And me and my two friends, we went.
Were
three,
like,
basically, the filthiest girls you're going to know.
Were there like three
middle-aged girls?
Three protesters outside?
No protesters. Yeah. Actually, there was like eight of us total in the whole theater.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure by the end, the other five people hated the three of us.
You know, the movie doesn't stick around long these days. You know, if it's even one that's, you know, getting box office appeal, it's like 7 weeks, you know, tops, and then it's gone.
I know. I mean, I can remember, you know, this would be back my childhood in the 80s. You know, you would wait, like E.T. would come and it would be there for 3 weeks because everyone wanted to see it, and then it would leave, but then it might come back 6 months later and stick around for another 2 weeks. So you could see E.T. or Star Wars like over and over again, like over the course of a year.
I just remember that this is the first one that comes to mind is Back to the Future, just kind of, you know, because that was like the birth of the super theaters right around then, where, you know, there was 20 theaters or 12 theaters or whatever, you know, the amount of the day was. And you would see a movie like that get reduced to the end of the hall.
Yes, you know, it'd been around a while because
yeah,
it's the last theater.
Because it's the last theater, and that's what I remember. But it would be there for at least triple the time they are now.
Right.
And then it would come out on video, and, you know, a year later. Not 6 months later or 6 weeks later, but a year later. You know, you'd get to see something you missed in the theater. And the movie house would make a big deal of it, that it's coming out on video and so on and so forth. And now it's like, if you miss a movie, just wait 3 months.
I know. And then with your big screen TV and your surround sound, you're really not missing too much of the experience.
And your own food and your own time.
And it doesn't cost nearly as much.
Yeah. I mean, these days you could actually get pussy to 50 Shades of Grey while it's on, you know? Well, I can't.
I'm sure in some seedy places you probably could, sure, right there in the theater.
I'm sure. No, I'm talking about, you know, it'll be released at home and, you know, the pussy whip father will get something out of it.
He has to produce the pink fluffy handcuffs.
Yeah. So like the one night,
because that's the kinkiest thing he could find.
The one night a year his PTA soccer mom wife wants to spread her legs, so he has to watch the fucking movie.
There was one guy, I guess, in the theater, and we were all commenting that he probably was going to get some. So we were all kind of giving him thumbs up when we were leaving the theater and stuff.
I have to admit, Lisa had a cackle out loud when a lady, when we were walking out, said, "Did she make you come here?" And I went, "I just watched Dakota Johnson's ass and tits for 2 hours. Do you really think I was made to come here?" Dumbass.
I feel very close to her now.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, so close, you see the hair on her legs at some point.
I know. I was wondering about that. I was like, okay, so apparently the waxing and or shaving doesn't go above the knees.
No, you know what I thought about that? I thought it was pretty authentic. from a virgin. And from a young girl in college who's, they make it seem like her priority really isn't sex. She's just taking her classes, working, and, you know, really hasn't met anybody of consequence yet. So, you know, so I kind of looked at it like, oh, this is kind of real. You know, she's not shaving the top of her legs because, you know, she's not wearing.
Because she doesn't know better.
Yes. Yes.
Plus, I'm sure she didn't expect a camera to be right there with the light behind her showing every hair on her thigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure she'd like to go back and change that because people do certainly talk about it.
I mean, she wasn't a woolly, like, beast, but yeah, I noticed
it. Wouldn't stop me from fucking her, that's for sure. It's like, oh, okay. Invisible hairs on your legs? Ew, go away. You 25-year-old Melanie Griffith starter kit.
Yucky.
I used to love Melanie Griffith when she was young.
I think most people your age did. Most guys. Some women.
I loved her little stupid talk.
She had that voice.
Yeah, that I would just like to have a job and a career here. Yes.
You can't really take me seriously because I talk like this. I'm one of the Tilly sisters.
Well, Sigourney Weaver's like, get my fucking coffee for me. Go get my dry cleaning. Go.
Which, weirdly enough, Sigourney Weaver was never, and I realize I'm not a guy, but I never thought she was really pretty until Galaxy Quest. In Galaxy Quest, Sigourney Weaver was just fucking hot.
With her blonde hair
and it was straight and.
I thought she was pretty hot in Ghostbusters when they had her all made up in the end, you know, like the evil bitch. Yes. I thought she was pretty hot in that. I used to think she was hot in the Alien series until I've watched it recently and I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking?
I know that short curly hair that was just very 80s.
Yeah.
She had that hair. It was longer in Ghostbusters. But in Galaxy Quest, my God, it was like, you're in your 50s and you finally are just fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's like, I was kind of turned on during the Alien series and then I watched it about a month or so ago and it was like, her and Alita Chiquita Alonso, you know, it was like Lesbo Fest almost. I was like, what the fuck was I thinking at the time? Both of these chicks had beat the fucking shit out of me.
And you'd like it.
Yeah, so I guess I went through the, I like the tough bitch phase or whatever. I don't know. It's a little fucking weird to me, to be honest with you.
But Fifty Shades of Grey, I went into it with the lowest possible expectations because I'd heard just terrible things. The reviewers saying it's like the worst movie ever made. And I enjoyed it. It was not the worst movie I've ever seen.
I got to be honest with you. I enjoyed it.
It was not bad. It was good. I don't want to say it was like the best thing I'd ever seen. It's certainly not going to win any Oscars, but it was good. I enjoyed it.
Lisa put it in perspective for me. She said, if you love the book and you were there to see the movie because of the book, it was exactly what it was supposed to be.
Yes.
And
okay, now had you read the book or was this when you saw it?
No, that was my first encounter with it. But she told me that it was very close to the book.
Yes.
Like closer to the book than any movie she's ever seen.
Yeah. Well, maybe the Lord of the Rings books. But that's kind of nerdy. So.
Yeah, I think she saw that because she's so fucking hot. But I think she was too busy being just fucking smoking hot for the Lord of the Rings series. You know, she was too busy.
Yeah, I guess.
She was too busy fucking James Hartnett or whatever his name was, and you know, in Friday Night Lights. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be bothered with the Lord of the Rings.
They were fabulous.
Now, her sister, she was probably there. She strikes me as that type. Lord of the Rings people freak me out.
Why?
Because if you get around them and they start talking about it, and you're like the one who doesn't really know anything, then you feel like a real outsider, and their geekiness really gets highlighted.
My dad was an eighth grade English teacher, and I was probably in the eighth grade when he brought those books home, because he would bring books home and for me to read, and I loved that. I will say he allowed me to be, you know, someone who loves reading. So I read these books not knowing anything about them. This was before the internet, so I really didn't know that they were huge, you know. I loved them. They're a series of books that I have read and reread periodically throughout my life. I always feel profoundly sad when they're done. I just think they're amazing. And so I was very excited about the movies. And I have to say that watching the movies the first time, I was blown away because the visualizations, the way the movie looked, I have never experienced anything where it was like Peter Jackson was in my head. Like, if I had made that movie, I would have made it. It looked just like that. I don't know if because the descriptions in the book are so good, but everything looked in the movies the way I always imagined that they would look. It was kind of spooky.
That's pretty cool, though.
So they made me very happy. I can understand. Now, I can say I don't own any swords or anything like that. And there are certainly characters that I would not be able to talk in great depth about and stuff. But as I said, I have read the books many times. I loved the movies. And I'm always going to be very grateful that my dad brought me those books home.
There must be enough people that are into it because, you know, there's actually a fucking reality show of a guy that makes swords.
I can believe that. Is it on Sci-Fi?
I think it's like on Discovery or something. Like it's on a pretty decent channel. And the guy lives in some like Rhode Island fucking house, and he makes these medieval fucked up looking swords for people that are into like medieval games and role playing and stuff like that. And
the Renaissance fairs.
He'll make somebody a sword and charge them $4,000 or $5,000 for it.
Now, is it all strictly medieval? Because there's the whole like Japanese sword thing, like from Kill Bill. You know, there was sword.
He seems to make it more medieval than anything.
Gotcha.
Just on. Keep in mind, I've seen like two episodes. I don't seek this show out.
No, I understand, and yeah. I wouldn't either.
But when I do find something like that, I will record it just to have something to talk about, like now.
Right.
Because
it finally came in handy, the sword show.
Yeah, because actually, you know, when you're sitting there telling me about your father and these books and all that, I'm like, yeah, it's not that far-fetched. This guy's a fucking sword show. So who am I to blow shit on this? He's making better money than I am, probably.
And, you know, I would hope that he enjoys what he's doing.
It would suck if he hated
making swords.
Yeah, he had
to make swords.
He's into it big time.
Well, then good. It's a win-win for him.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the happier people on TV.
Oh, yeah. He has his family. They don't look like they have, you know, everything in the world, but they have a nice little house near the water, and he has a little fenced in backyard that he makes these things in, and garage and all that, and that's his domain, his place. He's happy, but he's a little fucking weird.
Well, yeah. If you had the opportunity to work with your hands and build something or create something, what would you do?
I have to think his wife's vagina is just arid dry watching him participate in all this.
No, I guarantee you
he probably has to cut it open with one of those swords just to use it. Probably has to sword fuck her first before he gets to.
Nice.
It's just my imagination.
Yes.
So what were you saying before I interrupted you? I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was asking if you had an inkling to work with your hands to create something, whether it's painting or making swords or building something, what would you do? And would you be interested in doing that at all if you knew you could make a living doing it?
I actually am pretty good with working with wood.
I'm 12.
I know how to use a lathe. I know how to use, you know, joiners. I know how to dovetail. I know how to do all that stuff. So, you know, I'd have had fantasies about making my own pieces of furniture and stuff like that. One of my favorite shows on TV, it just finished up, was a furniture competition show, and they had all these designers on there that were just making some outrageously cool shit. I mean, just really trend-setting, just out of this world type furniture. And
see, I look at like crafters, people who will take like an old cowboy boot and then turn it into some sort of bird feeder. You know,
yeah.
It's like, where did you see, you know, it's like, I can copy someone else's work if I wanted to make something, if I liked it,
yeah.
But to come up with something, I don't have the visualization to, for instance, look at a cowboy boot and go, wow, I need to shellac that and turn that into a bird feeder. I just don't have that eye, I guess.
Yeah, this one guy, they gave them redwood tree trunks. Yeah, like an 8-foot section. Each of them got one of those, and they said, make something out of it. And this guy pretty much hollowed out a lounge chair, contoured to a body, and where the feet came down, he had a facade lounge, but it made it so you could pull the two outside pieces apart and actually pull them back to you as like something to put your drink on or put something to eat on.
And, oh, cool.
And the front part would come down so you could sit in it like a chair. But when you pulled the two things back around, the lounge went back up. And actually, those two arms supported the where you put your legs. And he had them curved and cut right out of the tree. And right where the seat was, there was a knot that he kind of smoothed out and hollowed out, and God, it was badass looking. I mean, it's like God, how did you visualize that?
Well, exactly, because first of all, you have to see the design, but then you also have to have a functional design that will actually work. You know, you have to, when someone sits in it, it doesn't just collapse and fall to the side or something. You know, so yeah, I can't imagine. I wish I could see stuff like that. I just can't.
Yeah, the only working parts on it was the hinges of the two things that came back. Other than that, he cut that completely out of that stump.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was and did it with the intention of saving the knot for the aesthetics, you know.
It was like the focal point.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, and he lost.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't think he should have, but he did. Somebody made like a table out of it that was, you know, it was nice, but it didn't have the imagination that guy's did.
Right. My godfather is pretty good. I mean, I don't think probably that level, but he has his own little shop and stuff. He's retired. And he had showed me at, I think, Christmas, a picture of a bench he'd made. He'd found a piece of walnut, but it was a funky piece, like this wood. It had like a Y. It was like a crotch in it. So it really wasn't usable for much, but he ended up turning it into this really cool bench. And again, it's like, I wouldn't have looked at that and said, oh, that's a Y-shaped bench, you know? But it's beautiful, and I just respect people who can do that, because I can't.
My ex-father-in-law was the original MacGyver, in my opinion. This guy could make things out of just crap. Stuff that if you were cleaning out your house, you'd throw away. You know, if you just took a sack of bolts and nuts and scraps and pieces of wood and all that, this guy would use every single bit of it to make something usable. He had
my dad had coffee
cans full of different things that, you know, he'd just go in there in his garage and smoke his pipe, his Barkham Riff. He was so fucking...
He sounds like my dad's friend.
He was so fucking cool. he was just... You know, and it's like he enjoyed the simple things in life and but was no dummy.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you know, the older I get and the more I think about him, he was smarter than the rest of us. Yeah, you know, he enjoyed the simple things in life. He smelled the roses. He, you know, wasn't greedy. He wasn't any of the things that hold us back.
Right. He was just a dude.
Just a dude who had his little $40,000 house paid off, you know?
Yeah.
And had his car and his truck paid off. And, you know, God knows how much money he was sitting on, you know, buried out in the yard somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, because the daughter-in-law lives there. And, you know, they went out there with a metal detector and found two cans full of money.
Wow.
And they think there's more there. It's just, you know, corroded now and it's not going to pick up. So there's probably like...
Well, if there were coins out there.
Yeah, if it was coins, he probably built something out of it. But he, whatever's there is safe because they have like 15 dogs, so nobody's gonna be trouncing the property, you know, without getting killed.
Right.
And but yeah, I admire people that can do that. I really do.
My dad had an old fishing buddy. His name was Putt, and he took an old like 1960s hearse and converted it into a little motorhome that they would sleep in when they were fishing.
Yeah.
And they would pull behind a vintage Volkswagen Beetle. So there'd be this old, like, nasty hearse, probably something from, like, Harold and Maude is what I picture.
Yeah.
And with pulling a Beetle behind him, an old bug, and that's what they would go fishing in and stuff.
Yeah,
he could pull crap out, and then, you know, he'd have all these old boards, and he could throw up a dock real quick, you know, off the river and stuff. It was like, as a kid, he's the coolest person, you know, because he can just make stuff right then and there.
Yeah, we lived in this townhome, and he came out there, and Sandy said something about wanting an extra room in the house. She wishes she could, or whatever the case was. And we came back one day, and he had the garage cleaned out and had framed in the garage as a room with electricity and had extended a vent over into the garage and framed it in and made a room out of it and left 8 feet to be able to put rakes and shovels and lawnmowers and things like that and still shut the garage door.
Cool.
Did that in a day.
I know. And doesn't make you jealous? Like,
yeah.
I would like to be able to just go build something. I'd like to be able to put a room somewhere if I wanted to.
Yeah. A friend of mine, and I think you know him, but I don't want to out him, but he is he's a very capable person. And
would he be a Michigan person?
No. He's a Kentucky person.
Okay.
But he bought a house with one bedroom, one bath, and by the time he got divorced 10 years later, he and his wife were in a fight over a four-bedroom, three-bath, a barn, a pool, and something else. And it was all added on and built by him.
Rock on.
And when they came out and appraised the house, while she told him how worthless he was, his house went from being worth $33,000 to almost $400,000.
Wow.
And was smart enough to have permits and everything while he did it. So she tried to run that on him. She's like, you didn't even build this with permits. And he's like, what, do you think I'm stupid? Yeah, here they are.
And at this point in the world, you'd be silly to do anything. And I know that permits are really just, in some cases, an opportunity for like the township to get more money. I get that.
Yeah.
But it is so worth it to just get the permits and do it right so then no one can bite you in the ass.
Well, anymore. you need it for the real estate people. Yeah, they're going to.
Right.
You know, they're going to need all that stuff, you know, because they see a house that started as a room and a bathroom and now it's a mansion. They're going to want to know, how did this happen?
And if the electricity has been inspected and stuff, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, that's how engaged she was with him during their marriage.
Well, that's too bad.
Nah, he's good now. Things happen for a reason.
Yes. Yes, you know, they do.
Some people just take the helicopter to the mountaintop, and some of us have to climb. But either way, he is ascending. He is good. So, good. So that's but I just have always been amazed at how resourceful he is and how good he is at all that stuff. You know, it makes me jealous because I just don't have the whatever that is to just build something like that.
Plus, too, there are the people who are kind of like that, but there are those people that somehow manage to find or always are given scraps of things that allow you to have enough stuff to make that room for like $200.
Yes.
Because somehow you have collected all of this wood and supplies and stuff in the last year, you know, whether it's been sitting on the side of the road or something, I don't know. But I know those people. It's like, well, I have this garage full of stuff and I just, you know, added this room to my house and it cost $200.
Right.
You know, it was like, what the hell? You're so, I wouldn't know what to look for.
Yeah. Other people's garbage, other people's treasure, you know, it's,
exactly.
You know, I know he built a lot of his stuff with exactly that. Somebody calling him from a job saying, hey, I got some lumber I need out of here. You know, if you want it, come get it.
Yep. You know,
and he would. Yeah. Are you using extra nails or having to cut something to piece it together instead of having a standard size piece of plywood? Yeah. But who cares? Probably makes it sturdier.
Probably. But then I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Put some good drywall on there. I have no idea what's going on underneath there.
Sure.
Just like, all right.
But, you know, when I saw his barn, I just went, wow, you built this by yourself? He's like, yeah. Yeah, I had all these beams, you know, really heavy beams going across and all that, and... Yeah.
Now, was it like a real wood barn or like a pole barn or a sheet metal barn?
It was sheet metal, but the inside had had wooden beams going across, you know, like a barn, a wood barn would. But the outer shell was, you know, kind of newer grade looking.
Right.
Yeah, like you would see, you know, you would see somebody build one now. But it was cheaper for him to do it that way based on the supplies he had, so that's
right.
Why he did
no,
it.
No, I understand.
But and the inside, he had these railroad ties that he did really cool shit with. You know, he put metal brackets around them and made support beams out of them.
I mean, just
really cool stuff. Just went the extra mile.
See, there's a thing right now where I live here in rural Michigan. It's farm, you know, farmland, and so there's all the old barns, the big two-story, three-story, you know, what you think of when you think of a barn, and they're all falling down and decaying because nobody takes care of them anymore. And it is a thing. The city people come up here from Detroit and they want to buy the barn wood because they use it for things like crafts. And, mm-hmm. and you know, if they want a rustic looking fence in their backyard, they will take the wood from the barns and turn it into their own things. And you can actually get like some pretty good money from what I understand.
Yeah.
If you like sell the wood from your barn that's fallen down out in the backyard, you know.
Yeah, just negotiate. Might as well get something for it.
That and field stones. You know, the farmers, when they're plowing their fields and stuff, they get these stone piles because that's, you know, they throw all the stones. And the city people come up here and are like, you know, wanting to pick through and will pay for the stone so they can do something cool in their yard, you know. And it's like, they're stones. They're rocks, really.
But once again, what's meaningless to one person is wow to another.
I know. It's just kind of fun to watch.
So I was going to run this by you because I thought you were the perfect person to run it by. But there is a line from a classic song that I've wanted to tattoo on me.
Okay.
And it
where first? Penis?
And no, I don't have a long enough penis for this. Okay. But it's it's from When the Music's Over. Music is your only friend to the end. Which I just love that line because it's so true.
Okay.
And when it comes to me, it's so true. It's when life is fucked up for me, it saves the day.
Right.
So I wanted to have that tattooed on me. Then I started thinking about other iconic lines from songs that would be cool to have tattooed on you.
Oh, I'm trying to think.
You know, stuff like, you know, excuse me while I kiss the sky. If you can't have any meat, how can you eat your pudding? How can you have any pudding if you can't eat your meat?
If you don't eat your meat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mother,
do you think they're going to break our balls? That one?
Yeah.
Anything from Pink Floyd pretty much could go on my body.
Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. From Won't Get Fooled Again.
Mama's Got a Squeeze Box, or is it Daddy's? What's the Squeeze Box song? Crap! It's been
Mama's
so long since I've heard.
Mama's Got a Squeeze Box.
Got a Squeeze Box.
And Daddy never sleeps at night.
Sleeps at night. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just shit like that. And I was like, Stacy and I could have a good time thinking of the lines that would be good. And you're not disappointing.
No question. I'm going off. Oh, so hold that because we'll go back to it. Is the Squeeze Box song dirty? Because it just sounds really dirty
to
me.
No, it's about
an accordion. I have never been able to.
No, it's actually about an accordion.
Well, I know that. But is there any double entendre there?
Yeah, the whole thing's double entendre.
Okay.
But it really is about an accordion. It has nothing to do with squeezing her box.
Just like Puff is, in fact, a magic dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody.
I know, because there was a movie.
Yes.
Oh, now you're going to make me look up song lyrics.
Yeah, I'm sorry to surprise you with it. But, You know, if you go to the Hard Rock in Vegas, they have some of that shit written around the hotel. I can't think of any of it offhand. None of the stuff we've brought up. But yeah, lines from songs, you know, instantaneously what it is.
Yeah. See, I've always enjoyed the song from the Eels, "Novocaine for the Soul." I just have always loved that little line, "Before I sputter out." I probably would have a sputter out thing written on
there
somewhere.
Now there's one, you know, they had the Hard Rock. It just said, my, hey, hey. And you're like, oh, that's cool, because you know what the second part is. Better to burn out than fade away.
Yes.
And I'm like, that was the cooler thing to put there than better to burn out than fade away. Because it was just like, it made you sing it. As soon as you saw it, you went, oh, yeah.
Hey, hey, my. Because you have to do it in the whiny Neil voice.
Don't fuck with Neil.
I have seen Neil in concert like 3 times, which is weird because I never considered myself a fan. I don't hate him. But looking back now, it's like, well, I guess I am in fact a fan of Neil Young.
Oh, God. Don't Let It Bring You Down is one of the greatest fucking songs ever.
My one small complaint, and it is a very small complaint, is I wish the man would just learn when to end a fucking song in concert.
Yeah.
Because he does that bow, 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 bow. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, it's been over for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just move on to the next one, please.
I'm not. This is so weird because, you know, I love going to see somebody I love in concert. I get pissed when the concert goes too long.
Like Blues Traveler and their 80-minute harmonica solos for each song.
Yeah, and Grateful Dead.
Never saw the dead.
After hour two, you'd be grateful if they were dead. We're going to be here another 3 hours. Yeah, you are.
See, probably the longest concert I saw was Pink Floyd in 94. It was the Division Bell, the Pulse Tour, whatever. And it was them by themselves. You know, nobody opens for Pink Floyd.
Right.
And I think it was like ultimately like a 3-hour show.
They did
have an intermission, but they came back. But you know what? It was them. I had no issue with how long that concert was.
Well, I didn't have issue with them either because, A, they have enough songs to do 3 hours, and, B, they don't give you just music or just, you know, the band.
Oh,
you
my
get,
God.
You get what the fuck's coming next.
It was the closest
pigs
to God.
Burning beds and.
Yes, it was the closest to God I'll ever come.
I had a burning bed go over my head in Tampa. I remember that.
Right. Well, there's the airplane that comes down, too.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Roger Waters do the wall twice. I saw him at the Palace, and then, like, 2 summers ago, I saw him at Wrigley. Oh, my God! And so that, but then they had the plane fly over and crash during the Pink Floyd show, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the pigs, the big, giant pigs.
Oh, the pigs are awesome.
Yes, with their glowing demon eyes.
It's so badass to see Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon album cover sitting on my daughter's wall.
See, now I've gotten to see them when they did the Silver Dome. They did 2 shows, and the show I was at, they played Dark Side from start to finish. So I've seen Pink Floyd do Dark Side, the whole thing, and then I've seen The Wall done by Roger Waters straight through twice. Oh, I love my Pink Floyd, and good for Sam.
Yeah, well, the first time she heard it was laying on a car hood out in the middle of her boyfriend's uncle's farm, and she said they just had it blasting out of the car, and they were just she goes I actually the first time fell asleep on the hood of the car because it was so relaxing and so amazing because she said. She goes, I'm just laying out there looking up at, you know, she goes, I could actually see the stars. There was no light pollution or anything. It was amazing. And, you know, here's Dark Side of the Moon. And, you know, it's just like, she goes, I'll never forget it. She goes, I have to see them before I die. I said, no, you have to see them before they die.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah.
She goes, how old?
Interesting.
She goes, how old are they? I said, they're mid-60s to 70.
To 70s, yeah. And, you know, it's funny, Roger Waters, when you look back at, like, the 70s pictures of them, not an attractive man. And somehow he's done, like, the Sean Connery thing, and now he's actually pretty attractive. Where David Gilmour was kind of, he had the Metallica thing going on back then, and it's like, how are you doing? And now it's like, oh, David, how unfortunate for you, you know?
Yeah, he looks old now.
Yes, he does.
But all those British guys don't give a fuck. They don't work out. They don't eat right. They, you know, they smoke. They drink. They, you know, they.
I know they've got their houseboat on the Thames, and that's where they're, you know, making their new music that nobody will ever hear except for their.
Uh huh.
What? Cool.
Except for their what?
Their wives.
Yeah.
It's like David Gilmour has been making music for the last 20 years, and apparently no one's ever going to hear it except for his wife, Polly. She just, you know, is the one who gets to hear what he's done, and I don't know if they plan on releasing something when he dies. I don't know.
Well, no, didn't they just release something?
It was all pre-recorded stuff. The stuff that came back out in the fall, that was, like, stuff that didn't make it to, like, the Division Bell and stuff. The way I actually never even heard it.
I thought they did some new stuff. Let me see here. Yeah, The Endless River. Is that it?
Yep.
Yeah, it's... what year is this? I mean, it came out
in November. 2014.
But this is all new sounding stuff, but it's all like 2 minutes long. There's Ebb and Flow. Let's see if we can hear some of this. It all kind of sounds like movie shit.
Yes. Light and floaty.
Yeah, this is a minute 55, so let's just get on the list here, see what some of this shit sounds like. All seems instrumental, too. Dave. let's see. Yeah, there's nobody singing or anything.
Yeah, as I said, I was under the impression this was just stuff like maybe they were toying with for other albums.
Yeah, guess you're right. I thought we were supposed to get like a full-fledged album out of them.
I don't think so. I would be surprised if we ever do again. I would love it, but I don't think that will ever happen.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, one more time.
Yeah. Fuck that. Anyway, I just think they're one of a kind. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, to see the kid get into it and get it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I had talks with her about it. I said, I want you to realize you will never see anything like this again. This is Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Pink Floyd. These are things that you get to see once.
Yeah.
And then something else magnificent will come along many times in your life, but nothing like this. It'll manifest in some different way, but the great ones just don't get duplicated.
No.
and that's you know, it's just the way it is. And she's like, well, she goes, what about LeBron? I went, what about him? He's the same thing. There's not going to be another LeBron James. You know, a 6'10 guy that can dribble between his legs and, you know, hit threes and go to the hoop and play defense and score 35 points a game and have 15 assists. And, you know, that, no, you're not going to fucking see another LeBron James. I said, but somebody else will come along that's got some other mad type of fucking game that will get compared to somebody. You know, but right. I said, these people are special. You have to donate your time. If you appreciate what they do, you have to donate your time and money to make sure you see them before life goes by.
Yep. I remember we had talked about this on the show a long time ago about every radio DJ remembers their greatest segue. Do you remember this mm-hmm. conversation? Because it's true. And mine was when I worked in Saginaw at the rock station there, Z93, we would have Double Shot Thursdays. And the PD was so awesome because what he would do was, you know, he would schedule the music so you'd have your double shots. But a couple times throughout the hour, he would leave one of the songs in one of the double shots open
mm-hmm.
so that we could choose what we wanted to play. It didn't have to be a request. This was just for us. And so every Thursday, you would see all of us coming into the station, into the studio with our own CDs from home. Because we didn't know what we were going to get, but it was like, by God, I'm going to play something. And I had he always made sure I got a Pink Floyd, at least one double shot in there. And I had brought stuff in, and I actually don't remember. I know I don't remember what I went from, but I went into Fearless from the Metal album and played that. But it was just this great mix. It was just artful that you'll never see again because computers, you know, change all the songs now and everything. And I actually had a guy call and say, what was that song you just played? And I said, dude, that was Metal. I mean, that was Fearless from Metal. That was Pink Floyd. And he's like, that is the best song I've ever heard in my life. And I said, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was my old stoner days, but it was like, I just touched someone with Pink Floyd. My job here is done as a DJ.
Yeah, I think my best segue ever was two Van Halen songs. And it was I Can't Wait to Feel Your Love Tonight into it was on Van Halen 1 and 2. It was two songs from those two albums. And it was a similar scenario that, you know, with a huge band, they let us have fun with it.
Right.
And I was just screwing around, and the ending of one song and the beginning of the other timed out perfectly. So it's like when they went a cappella at the end to I Can't Wait to Feel, I start when it, as soon as the music stopped and they were just singing a cappella, I started the next record, and as soon as they said tonight, it went da 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 da. Yeah, but it was coming up underneath it, and it was in the same key and everything. It was a total accident, but I was like, whoa!
I know. Yeah. You get so happy because yeah. It's like you do know these songs so well after you hear them for so many yeah. times. And it's just like, oh, yeah. No one in the world knows what I just did, but that was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, I actually did it on my own mixtape. Yeah, my friends be like, how can I get those songs together like that? I'm like, you can't.
You can't. That was a once in a lifetime thing.
You can't. You need me to do it. Only I can do it.
See, that's what pisses me off with like iTunes, Journey, that feeling that way anytime, uh-huh. the two songs. You can't buy those two songs together.
No.
And see, what no one seems to understand is those two songs are supposed to be together.
Yeah, there's lots of songs like Waiting for the Bus, Jesus Has Left Chicago, ZZ Top.
Yes.
Yeah, I probably, if I just went over my list, could name five of them pretty quick that piss me off like that.
Because it's like, if you can't put it then like where it's in shuffle, because it's going to disappoint you every time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, oh.
I actually, on the Legend cast, I played Feeling That Way Anytime. And I put them together and I let Spotify do the seg, and it actually did okay. It was close.
I will admit, those two songs together, that is one of my guilty pleasures. That is a summertime driving with the windows down, music up loud, not caring that everyone hears you rocking to Journey, and just singing at the top of your lungs.
No, listen, that Infinity and Departure, I could listen to those back to back, no problem. They're just great albums. They really are. You know, the same thing with Foreigner. The first Foreigner record, come on.
That was just a wee bit before my time.
But sit down and listen to it sometime. And you'll realize, oh my God, for our first album, holy shit. Every fucking song is good. And that came out right when the Boston album came out. And,
four albums and they're a legend. Sorry. I worked with a Boston fan a long time ago.
Well, I mean, I don't know about being a legend, but that first album. Yeah, what I'm marveling at is like three or four of the best records of all time came out within 3 months of each other. And we had a whole summer to take them all in, you know. One of them was like Styx, Grand Illusion. You know, just all those things came out like in a barrage in a summer, and we're all touring and coming to town, and you know, it was just Aerosmith.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toys in the Attic. I mean, Frampton Comes Alive. I mean, it was just one after another after another. After Fleetwood Mac, Rumors, Eagles, Hotel California, just craziness. Came out all within 6 months to a year of each other. What are you laughing at?
I worked with a guy once who was older than me. And he had been in like rock, classic rock for a very long time. And in one of those moments that we've all had with music, when you just aren't aware of something, he admitted to me that just prior in that week, he had realized for the first time after playing it for 20 years that they were saying Sweet Emotion at the beginning of the song.
Wow.
He had never paid attention. But we've all had those moments, too, where you go, oh.
Yeah. Marshall Tucker, Can't You See?
What?
I thought they were saying Kansas City.
I've come to sniff the rooster.
Yeah. Wow, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I have a couple others I can't think of, right? I'll think of when we're done with this on the way home, but yeah, we've all had our retarded moments with stuff like that.
There's no shame to it. Everyone's had it. You just kind of go, oh.
I think one of them was a Steve Miller song. I'm trying to.
Well, I don't care what anyone says. Manfred Mann was wrapped up like a douche. Sorry. I don't care. I don't care what behind the music stories they tell. It is wrapped up like a douche.
No, it's deuce.
It's douche. Just trust me on this.
No, it's deuce because Bruce Springsteen wrote the fucking song and his lyrics say deuce.
It is douche. I don't care what anyone says. It is douche.
Now, either way, I don't know what a fucking deuce is.
I guess we have to look at what is the least offensive of the products here. An actual douche or a dookie?
Yeah, but I don't know what Jersey slang term a deuce is. You know, I don't know what he meant by that.
It's douche.
You can't wrap up a douche, Stacey. It's liquid.
You can.
A douche is liquid.
Well, if you've there got is a no, nozzle. There
it's just, it's you're fucking wrong. Sorry. You're just trying to antagonize me, and I'm not going to let you. It's not fucking douche.
I like antagonizing you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not happening. You sound
well, right. How about electric camel toe?
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
The Clash. It's electric kettle drum, I think, but it sounds like electric camel toe.
Once again, if you just use your head, you know it.
It's camel toe. Camel toe and douche.
You know, which is why I get mad at myself over the Marshall Tucker one. It's like, Kansas City, what that woman's doing to me. What does that mean?
Maybe like, that was her stripper name.
It's like, hey, Lex, it's can't you see? Oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Sweet emotion.
Did you know that says...
Oh, my God, they're saying sweet emotion.
Did you know that says sweet emotion at the beginning? Yes, everybody does.
But not the guy who's been playing it for the last 20 years.
Hey, you know, you get so oblivious when you play those songs.
Yes.
You know, you just take them for granted because you know you're going to hear it again in 2.5 days.
Yes. Or sooner.
Or if you have a tight-ass PD, less.
Well, thank God for consultants who have fixed radio and made it good.
Oh no! You know, there were some consultants that were, you know, really cool and kind of got it when it came to, you know, I had a great talk with Fred Jacobs, and he was like, you know, Lex, he says you don't understand that most of the people that we consulted, you know, weren't 10% of them were great programmers. And then there is another 30% that could have been great programmers if they would have been left the fuck alone. And then the rest of the people were fucking morons.
Such is life.
That were put in position, you know, because they were willing to accept the low pay grade that the company was offering, you know, for them to work slave wages, you know, from dusk to dawn or dawn to dusk or whatever the case is. And I went yeah, I know. And he says you know, he goes so you got to see me do my job, you know, with you like I wanted to do it. And that is you know, radio has to have a human element to it and has to have that attitude and feel to it. He says, but not every radio station's capable of providing that, depending on its personnel. So,
right.
You know, I you know, he just gave me the perspective that, like, you know, there was places he came to consult. He didn't have to consult, you know, but and then there are other places where he didn't feel bad at all about completely interfering.
Now, if you're, and I've never personally dealt with a consultant, but I assume that they listen to the radio station, like a good sampling of it, to hear all the jocks, hear the programs, hear what's going on before they open their mouths and say anything, correct?
Yeah.
Because I just never got that impression that it was just like, well, you need to do this, 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 and it was a set list that they probably gave everyone to start out with.
Well, and from Fred's perspective, he said I'd be an idiot not to listen to the stations because if somebody's doing something good, I can help somebody else do that. if I'm just going with my own ideas and my own thoughts on when I hear a station, and I don't have anything to bring to the table, because I'm not worth my money. So, yeah, of course, right. I listen to stations, and if I heard somebody doing something great, I would, you know, definitely a lot of times implement it my own way or put a twist on it. You know, very seldom was it done perfectly where I would just say turnkey it like this. But he goes, I heard a lot of good stuff just listening to the radio and how people did things. You know, and it wasn't always, and a lot of it was rule breaking type stuff that we were all taught was bad.
Bad. Yes. That's going to get you a reputation and no one will ever hire you ever again.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, you drive around in the car, you go to lunch with these guys and you listen to the station and stuff. And, you know, I even found myself doing it. I was a new program director and I was a little nervous and everything. It's like he's probably talking a little too much, isn't he? And he's like, no. I'm like, I'm overdoing it, aren't I? Yeah, a little bit. And it's just all done by feel. If somebody has great numbers and they're a little wordy, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, that's true. You know, you can't, again, go, you have to limit your, no, you have to stop by 60 seconds.
You know, they always, you know, I always got asked why I was so successful doing that job. And I said, I let everybody do their jobs.
Yeah. Go figure.
I didn't work with a weak air personality. I got rid of them. I brought in somebody who was good and let them be themselves. And
right.
You know, it's like Schwartz used to go crazy, you know, to see my feet up on my desk. And it's like, you know, you go down the hall and, you know, Jeff would be, you know, just on the phone and wheeling and dealing and doing all this. And he come down to my office and I got my feet up on my desk and he's like, don't you need to be doing things?
I love your impersonation. Yeah. Buddy.
And I'd look at him and go, I said, if the things you're talking about are winning, it has already been brought in. I said, some people work with more efficiency. I choose to hire somebody that has a mind and a brain and doesn't need me to hold their fucking hand and can do their job and get treated like an adult and reward me with performance where I look fucking great.
Right.
And that's how I roll. I went on the first tee. I hired a great fucking person. He, on the other hand, just tries to make and mold and shape things into what he wants, and it takes a lot of work. He's getting great results. That's the way he chooses to do things. I personally don't.
Right.
Yeah, no person's way was wrong in that case. They had great ratings. We had great ratings, but yeah, my way was basically to hire high quality people and let them be them and give them all the mission statement of the station, and it did great.
Rock on.
Yeah, so, you know, it's, but consultants aren't all bad. Certainly the one I got to work with was great. He's still a good friend of mine to this day. So
suck up.
Yeah, well, I don't need a programming job anymore, so I don't have to suck up. Yeah, but he was actually a great mentor. He helped me a lot, so I have nothing bad to say about him.
Good.
Great things, actually. So we're going to...
Which is so rare in radio.
Yeah. I had to work with some that were total fuckheads and backstabbers and douchebags and idiots. And
Were they wrapped up like a douche?
Yeah, they were wrapped up like a douche. Yeah.
With bacon,
yeah. With just anything smarmy on it. Yes. And those guys still exist to this very day. So, you know, God bless you, whoever has to work with them. But I choose not to, and that's why I'm on the Lex and Terry show. So, yes. We are out of here. I will talk to you next week, Stacy. Congratulations to both of us for finishing 30 fine episodes.
Woohoo! Happy dance, happy dance.
Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. I will see you next week, my dear.
Uh-huh. Yes. You too, darling.
All right.
Snickerdoodles. Bye.